So what was chapter 89 called? What was 89? Do you have something under that? Something underneath? Okay. Yeah, so this is the end of the Bhagavatam. I've got one here. This is the end of the Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Right? So tomorrow night we'll finish canto 10. When you finish a canto or begin a canto, it's very auspicious. And we're going to finish canto 10. And then the most auspicious day of the year, Krishna's birthday, is there. And then we'll begin canto 11. It was very auspicious. It's all the arrangement. Shri Krishna Tanda Bhagavan. Ki.
Jai.
Jai Ho.
Jai Jai.
So, by the arrangement of Krishna, it has happened like this. So, the 10th canto, the second last chapter, establishes Krishna's supremacy. He's Aishwarya. Krishna is the sweetest person, but he's also the most powerful person. So that previous chapter establishes his Aishwarya. And now this chapter, the very last chapter, establishes Krishna's Madhurya. Madhurya means?
Sweetness.
His sweetness. Krishna's sweetness is manifest in the very final chapter. Because just like when you take prasad, how do we finish the meal?
Sweet.
Yeah, something sweet. You have something sweet. And if you're from some cultures, you have something in the beginning which is sweet also.
Beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah, in some cultures they have all the way through. Just every, all the way. What is that?
Everything is
Gujarati.
Yeah, Gujarati, that is there.
Every item is sweet.
Yeah, in Jagannath Puri, all the prasad is sweet.
They also say that when you take the last sweet, that means the stomach knows no more.
It doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't work for me, but when I take the last sweet, then the stomach says, okay, now let's get started. What is your record of gulab jamuns? I remember eating 36. Long time ago. That's a lot. 36.
Six
burns
on Balarama,
six
burns,
and then
I have
6. You had 6? Okay.
All rookie numbers. What's that?
All rookie numbers.
Yeah. That's good though, that's impressive. That's very good. Okay, so we're finishing on sweetness. So this final chapter is the last chapter of the 10th canto. It's a very, extremely sweet chapter. We'll study. Shukadev Goswami said, "The master of the goddess of fortune resided happily in his capital city in Dwarka, which was endowed with all opulences and populated by the most eminent Vrishnis and their gorgeously dressed wives. When these beautiful women, in the bloom of youth, would play on the city's rooftops with balls and other toys, they shone like flashing lightning. The main streets of the city were always crowded with intoxicated elephants, exuding mada, and also with cavalry, richly adorned infantrymen, and soldiers riding chariots brilliantly decorated with gold. Gracing the city were many gardens and parks with rows of flowering trees, where bees and birds would gather, filling all directions with their songs. Lord Krishna was the sole beloved of his 16,000 wives, expanding himself into that many forms. He enjoyed with each of his queens in her own richly furnished residence. On the grounds of these palaces were clear ponds fragrant with the pollen of blooming Udpala, Kalara, Kumuda, and Amboja lotuses, and filled with flocks of cooing birds. the Almighty Lord would enter those ponds and also various rivers and enjoy sporting in the water while his wives embraced him, leaving the red kumkum from their breasts smeared on his body. You come for class?
Yes.
Okay, good boy. Good to see you. Okay, Neela, you want to read the...
One rule of poetic composition practice in the Vaishnava Adas is Madhurayana Sampai. A literary work should conclude in mood of special sweetness. Srila Sudha Goswami, the most tasteful director of cultural topics, has accordingly included in his last chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam a description of Lord Krishna's water sports in the attractive setting of mud, followed by the rapturous praise of the Lord's kings.
Any points?
Describes the beauty of Dwarka city, its palaces and the ponds there, the lakes there inside, all the beautiful lotuses there, with all the dragons and beautiful queens, beautiful Krishna with sweet behavior.
Most attractive. The only thing more attractive is Vrindavan itself. So, any other points?
What is rapturous praise of the queens?
What is it?
Rapturous prayers. In the purport last line.
But the rapturous prayers.
Of queens.
Yeah. So, in this chapter, you'll hear the prayers of the queens.
Any particular word is rapturous?
Rapturous means like...
capturing.
Yeah, when you're totally... Your mind is encaptured by someone.
Captivating.
Yeah, completely captivated. Like rapturous. Okay, any other points?
Is it true that before the city of Dwarka was made, there was no water there and it was filled with the sea afterwards?
Yeah. It was built, it was on top of the oceans.
So there wasn't water there when it was built?
Yeah, it's floating on the ocean.
floating in the ocean?
Yeah.
Dwarka city.
Dwarka, yeah, floats on the ocean.
Floats on the ocean.
Yeah, like a big boat, like floating on the ocean.
Okay. See. So there was no, no solid foundation?
Nothing.
Okay.
Only water.
Okay.
Krishna can do anything.
Okay.
What's the problem?
No problem.
No problem. Okay. Any other points?
There was no bridge connecting to the mainland.
Yeah, they had to get to the mainland. So. Yeah. Something was there. Anything else? Okay. So this chapter, we're going to hear the Mahishi Gita. So if you go back through the 10th canto, there has been 5 Gitas spoken so far. Does anyone remember the
Gopi Gita?
Gopi Gita, yeah. Venu Gita. Yugala Gita. Yeah, Brahmara Gita. And Varaha Gita. So chapter 21 was Venu Gita. Chapter 31 was Gopi Gita. 35 was Yugala Gita, 39 was Varaha Gita, 47 was Brahma Gita, right? And then there was also the meeting at Kurukshetra, which is considered to be like another extremely intense union or sambhog or pastime or connection between Krishna and the gopis. That's considered to be a very exalted and intimate part of the Bhagavatam when they met at Kurukshetra. And then now is called Mahishi Gita. Now that's in this chapter where the Mahishi or the queens speak. So...
What was the first one? What chapter?
21. I'm not going to repeat them all. You can listen to the recording. So, as we said in the beginning, that everything must end in sweetness. It's actually a Vedic rule when you are writing poetry or you're writing drama in the Vedic context. Everything must finish on a very sweet note and a very positive note. Sometimes these days when there are dramas like films and things made, finishes on a very negative note. You know, it's actually not correct. Now, everything should always, it's actually a rule of drama. And you see all of Krishna's pastimes always finish like this. Finishes on something very, very positive and very sweet, very nectarian. Yeah. So that is the way that Krishna performs his pastimes, even in the material world. So here in the 10th canto, it finishes in a very nectarian display of love, actually, between Krishna and his queens. So we understand from our studies, as we've gone through the 10th canto, the identity of the queens. The queens can be understood in a number of ways. There's like multifaceted relationships. In Krishna's pastimes, as we've described, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna has many forms simultaneously. He can be with the gopis in union. Simultaneously, he's also separated from them. Simultaneously, the queens are expansions of the gopis. And then there are pastimes when the queens and the gopis are both there. Right? And then there are pastimes where, you know, Radharani, as an example, throws herself into the Jamuna, is stolen by the sun god, taken to the sun planet, then reappears back into Dwarka as Satyabhama, lives in Nava Vrindavan, is then discovered by Krishna, is married by Krishna. So the queens are expansions of the gopis directly. But then even when the queens are living with the Krishna and the gopis come, there are pastimes where the gopis meet outside of Dwarka. Just like, you know, we wear that tilak. What is the tilak called?
Gopi chandan.
Gopi chandan. Yeah, so where does it come from?
From Dwarka.
It comes from Dwarka. Yes. So if it comes from Dwarka, why is it called gopi chandan?
Because when they went there, the tears came out from their eyes.
Yeah, the gopis went to Dwarka.
And they met
the queens. Mm-hmm. So even though it's explained in multifarious ways, Krishna's pastimes, you know, there's many, many layers. It can be explained in many ways, and they're all correct. Even though simultaneously there may appear to be some contradictions. But actually everything is correct. The gopis went there, they met the queens. And then feeling separation from Krishna, their tears formed like that. And then we take that chandan, that's what we place on our foreheads, the gopi chandan. So all of these things are correct. So here in this chapter, we're going to hear the Mahishi Gita, which means the queen's love for Krishna is going to be explained. So the type of love, which is going to be displayed in this chapter, is extremely exalted. It is called prema vaichitya. Now, what does that mean? Do you remember? There were two types of prema, which we described earlier in the 10th canto. Prema vivata, prema vaichitya. Now, do you remember the two kinds? Prema vaichitya, which we'll hear about in this pastime, is when the gopis or the queens are with Krishna, but while being with Krishna, it's sambhog, they're actually with him, but they go into a deep mood of separation. So this is an extremely high level of ecstatic love. This is prema bhakti, like highest levels. This is actually anurag. Prema has different levels. When we get to prema, then there's different levels. Sneha, man, anurag, bhav, mahabhav, like that. So it goes into extremely deep levels. So they are with Krishna, but they're feeling separate. And then there's other pastimes where we heard the gopis early in the 10th canto, that's Prema Vivarta, where they are separated from Krishna, but they go mad. It's called Unmada. That will be displayed in this chapter also. Unmada means divine madness. You know, like Radharani was talking to the bumblebee. So that is called Unmada. That's the Brahmara Gita. So she's separated from Krishna. But then they go into such a deep state of consciousness that they actually feel they are with Krishna simultaneously. So they're separated but with. And sometimes they're with him but feeling separated from him. So practically speaking, we can't really understand this. You know, we can theorize it to some degree, or we can get some perception of it, but really to understand it, it's beyond our perception and grasp. It's Janmashtami this at the end of the week, so it's extremely auspicious. So, you know, we're all praying and we're all beginning to enter into our meditations. No, so that you can't just arrive on Janmashtami and, you know, expect to enter deeply into the mood. You have to prepare now. You have to enter into it gradually. You know, from Baladev Purnima onwards, Jovan Yatra, you have to begin to enter into the consciousness. Just like, you know, when we were young, we used to do diving. So when you're diving, you're on the platform, on the diving board. You go there and then you see the divers in the Olympics and things like that. They'll stand there first and they see it in their mind, the dive. Then they do the dive. They don't just run on the board, jump and go off. No, it's like a meditation. So first we have to meditate on all of this. Right? And by meditating on it, then gradually we'll begin to perceive Krishna's pastimes. And gradually. So you can't just enter straight into it. We lack qualification or adhika. First we have to purify ourselves, and then after purifying ourselves, then we can begin to enter into Krishna's lila, now his pastimes. So, it describes here the description of Dwarka in 7 verses. So it's a very beautiful description. Dwarka is, you know, beyond our comprehension. How beautiful the spiritual world is beyond our comprehension at this point in time. You can imagine it, but, you know, it'll never be quite like what it is. When we see it, then we will be, you know, completely amazed. Even Krishna's amazed by the beauty of Vrindavan. The devotees are amazed constantly by the beauty of Vrindavan. So this is a description of Dwarka. Vrindavan is even more beautiful. Vrindavan is actually even more opulent. It's a different type of opulence. It's a Madhurya opulence as opposed to an Aishwarya opulence. So in the Dham, there is what we call Udipan. What does Udipan mean? Stimulation. Yeah. Of? What is stimulated?
Spiritual emotions.
Spiritual emotions, yeah. Or divine ecstasies. Something which stimulates your ecstasy. So what are examples of Udipanas?
Hair standing on end.
What is it?
Hair standing on end.
No, that's Anubhav. Or Sattvikabhav. That's like a display of ecstasy. But Udipan means the stimulation. Something that makes you feel ecstatic. So it describes, this verse is a description of the Udipan of Dwarka, the Dham. Just saying all of these things make all the devotees feel very blissful, and it stimulates their love for Krishna. Vrindavan, because of its wonderful and beautiful nature, it stimulates the love of the devotees. The cowherd boys in Sakyaras, they become stimulated. Because it's so beautiful, and there's so many trees to climb, mountains to climb, rivers to swim in, ropes. When you're a kid, did you used to go on the rope? You know, go on the rope and jump into the water. You did that when you were a kid? Yeah. I still do it now. No. You get a rope, you just swing it and land in the river. It's ecstatic. All right. So in Vrindavan, there's all vines on the trees. They can swing and they can land in the... All right. They can dive off waterfalls, you know, land in the water. Behind the waterfalls, what's behind some of the waterfalls?
Little cliffs.
Little cliffs? Yeah, what else is it behind the little waterfalls?
Mist.
What else?
Cave.
Very good. Caves. Yeah, there are caves behind the waterfalls. You go behind the waterfall and there's a cave. You go into the cave and there's like a beautiful cave for Radha and Krishna to have pastimes. Does it sound like a good place to go? Then why are you attached to staying here in Albert Park? Why are you attached to the material energy? Why are you attached to going in Yarra trams every day? When you could be in the spiritual world, performing pastimes with Krishna and Balaram. Where do Krishna and Balaram live? Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan. So, in all these things are Udipan. So for the residents of Dwarka, when they see all these beautiful things which are described in these seven verses, it stimulates their love for Krishna. Just like in Vrindavan, it says, what are the two things which give Krishna the greatest pleasure in Vrindavan itself in the forest? We discuss this, like, further back. Yeah, Jamuna, but specifically it says... One is the breeze, yep. The breezes in Vrindavan. Because what do the breezes contain? The ecstatic aromas of Vrindavan. It said that when you walk into the breezes of Vrindavan, it's like, you become... It's like walking into a wall of ecstatic aroma. Beyond our estimation. Like beautiful jasmine flower. You see when all the jasmine comes out here, it'll come out in the next couple of weeks for Radhashtami. And sometimes, like in the morning, you walk through, and it's so powerful, it's so intoxicating.
The jasmine, I think.
What's that?
Jasmine.
Yeah, all the jasmine which is out here. Yeah. This type of jasmine is so intoxicatingly sweet and beautiful. So, the breezes in Vrindavan, and then what is the other thing?
Water bodies.
Huh?
Water bodies.
Yeah, the bodies of water. And the Jamuna and the lakes, the Kuns, Radha Kun, Shama Kun, Manasi Ganga, Prem Sarovara, all the different lakes, which they're Govinda Kund, like that. So the pleasure which Krishna gets from diving and swimming in the different lakes and having water sports, Jaupali, this is what gives him the greatest pleasure. So these are Vrindavan's offerings to him. These are Udipan. They stimulate love for Krishna. So if we go back in the 10th canto to the Rasa Lila, so when the full moon rises, right, it makes those in Madhurya Ras feel very amorous, which means they feel very stimulated in conjugal feelings. Right? When the full moon comes up and those beautiful breezes are there in the night and the fragrances, and then when they touch the water, like that, it stimulates their love, and that's called Udipan. So this whole description is the Udipans of the residents of Dwarka. It makes them, and the queens, it makes them feel stimulated in love. They want to have pastimes with Krishna. So, any points?
What is Anubhas?
What is it?
Anubhas, you said something. Anubhas. One is Udipan, the other is Anubhas.
Anubhav. Anubhav. Yeah. Or Sattvika Bhav. There's different types of bhavas. Yeah. Stahi bhav means your permanent ecstasy. Or you're feeling that I'm a cowherd boy or a gopi or in vasaya rasa. But then there's all the stimulating rasas which go. If you study the nectar of devotion, the bhakti rasamrita sindhu, then you can understand all these things. So, any other points?
Is there any difference in both stimulate the Vrindavan as well as the...
What is it?
You said that
But Vrindavan is even sweeter. More sweet. Perfect, more perfect, most perfect.
Okay.
Vrindavan is most perfect. As Gandhava is joyfully saying his praises to the accompaniment of Mridanga, Panava, and Anaka drums, and his professional reciters known as Sutas, Magadas, and Vandis played Veenas and recited poems praising him, Lord Krishna would play with his wives in the water. Laughing, the queens would squirt water on him with syringes, and he would squirt them back. Thus, Krishna would sport with his queens in the same way that the lord of the Yakshas sports with the Yakshi nymphs. So what are these pastimes called? Jalkeli. Actually, Rasa Lila means, what is Rasa Lila?
Means dancing.
Yeah, when Krishna does the Rasa dance,
yeah.
We call that Rasa Lila. But that has, Rasa Lila itself, we studied earlier, has four components. What are the four parts of Rasa Lila? Yeah, wandering through the forest. Yeah, wandering. Right, that's one part. Then? Yeah, Jalkeli. Going into the Jamuna and they swim and they splash and they have fun. So wandering through the forest, going into the water.
Dancing
itself, yeah, the dancing.
Meeting in the caves.
In the caves or the kunjas. Or the kunjas, yeah. Yeah, like private meetings. These are the four parts. It begins with the wandering. If you read the Rasa dance, first they wandered, then they danced, then they went into the water to refresh themselves, and then they went to private places to enjoy pastimes in their kunjas. So all of that is called Rasa Lila. So here we're hearing about Jalkeli. You know, the water pastimes, sports is in Dwarka with Krishna with his queens. It is also holy lila. You know, when you get the syringe, and then you start, what are they called?
Pichari.
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 Begin to squirt, like that. And then they get colored water, and they begin to squirt with each other. Does it sound like fun?
Yeah.
Why do we stay in the material world? You can go to the spiritual world, you can do all these things with Krishna. So much ecstasy is there. So, it says the queens were combating with Krishna. It wasn't just like, you know, a little bit play. It was like real forceful play. Very competitive. The queens do not like to lose when they fight with Krishna. And Krishna does not like to lose either. So it's very competitive. And actually said, describes as being ferocious. Does it sound like fun? Yeah. You don't want just like, it's a little bit of splashing. No, it turns into like a battle between Krishna and the queens. Same thing happens in Radha Kund, when Radha and Krishna have these big water fights. They're all splashing each other like that. No. You ever do that with your friends? Sometimes you're in the river, you're all splashing. Doing that. So they're having these big water fights. And then Krishna defeats Radharani, right? And all the gopis and all the mandaris are watching. And when Krishna defeats Radharani, everyone goes quiet. No one says anything. Because Krishna won. But then if Radharani wins, everyone goes, Jai Radhe! Jai Radhe! If Krishna wins, everyone just goes quiet. Everyone's just like...
No one... How can you lose in a water fight?
What's that?
How can you lose in a water fight?
I'll show you. I'll take you to the river. I'll show you. I will defeat you in battle. You understand what it means to lose in the water.
Is it like submit, like I give up? Or
yeah.
Like,
yeah, it just means that it's splashing so much water and you can't compete anymore. You're either going to surrender or drown. These are the two choices. So Krishna is defeated like this. So this is where rasa is. Rasa. Rasa is the center of existence. That's why it's called bhakti ras amrita sindhu. That's a description of the whole spiritual world. Bhakti ras. The rasa you get from loving devotional exchanges between Krishna and Krishna's devotees. That is called bhakti ras. Amrita means
nectar.
Amrita, without death. Something is only amrita or nectar when you don't die. If you're going to die, then it's not amrita because it wrecks it. It ruins everything. I have to die now. Well, now it's not fun anymore because you're dead. So it's not, amrita means without death. It means the nectar can go on forever. That's why in the material world you can't experience real amrita. Because you need a spiritual body to have unlimited pastimes. So bhakti ras, amrita sindhu. Sindhu means ocean. Means no limit. No limit. Yeah. It's unlimited. Just like unlimited. Anandam vudi varadhanam. So this is called the bhakti ras. So this is the center of life. It is rasa. You can just be with two people, just you and one other person, one friend and you. And you can be exchanging so much rasa, you're in ecstasy. Or you can be with 100 people or thousands of people. Like these days, people don't talk to each other. Like you walk down Swanston Street, there's no rasa. Everyone's just like, you know, looking, and then you look at someone, they look down like that. It's like, you know, there's no rasa. Rasa means you just got two people, you can be completely happy and satisfied. Jiva Goswami says, Radharani, just her association is enough to make Krishna completely satisfied. Because she is the most expert in rasa. Being with Radharani is the most pleasurable experience for Krishna and all the devotees. And being with Krishna is the most pleasurable experience for Radharani. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, it is like a battle. Or like a competition. Radharani exchanges with Krishna. Krishna becomes more ecstatic. And when he becomes more ecstatic, he becomes more beautiful. When Krishna is more ecstatic, the gopis become more blissful, seeing Krishna. And then they become more beautiful, more ecstatic. And then Krishna sees that, and then he increases. And says in the competition, it never ends. And there is no winner. Because the ecstasy just continuously increases. That is the spiritual world. In the material world, right, the ecstasy can finish very quickly. It doesn't last in the material world. Unless you're with very advanced devotees, and it becomes very satisfying, continuous. But otherwise, it's very... The material world is quite boring. Is that true or not?
Yeah.
What can I do? It's not my problem. That's the way it is. The material world is boring. Chan Hare Krishna and... Be happy, yeah. Because the material world, you won't get pleasure. There's no pleasure in the material world. No. You'll be completely disappointed in the material world. That's the nature of the material world. Material world key?
Yeah.
Material world key? Boo.
Can you remember what is Yakshi nymphs?
The Yakshi nymphs. They play with the yakshas.
Nymphs
means beautiful young girls, like forest goddesses. Nymphs. Any other points? So it's very nice, isn't it? Nice way to finish. Krishna makes it the most ecstatic to finish. Krishna is the most expert, Rasa Raj, Rasa Kashika. So he finishes so beautifully. 10th canto.
Rasa Bihari.
Yeah, Rasa Bihari. Lal. In the previous chapter, he shows his power. And now he shows his sweetness to finish. Under the drenched clothing of the queens, their thighs and breasts would become visible. The flowers tied in their large braids would scatter as they sprayed water on their consort. And on the plea of trying to take away his syringe, they would embrace him. By his touch, their lusty feelings would increase, causing their faces to beam with smiles. Thus Lord Krishna's queens shone with resplendent beauty. Okay. So these things are not to be imitated. Why? Why can we not imitate this?
Because you can't do it.
You can do it. You can go and jump with a boy and a girl can go to the river and they can play with each other. No. But why should we not do it?
Because you're not subjects.
Because what?
We'll be doing it for our pleasure.
You're not subjects.
Yeah, because?
You're not qualified.
No, I mean, you can go with some girl and you can go and do it. Anyone can do it. People are doing it all the time. But we should not do it because Krishna is the enjoyer. Krishna is the Purusha. Right? If we're enjoying separately from Krishna, then we're in Maya. Right? You have to enjoy in Krishna's service. So the queens, they'll only do this with Krishna. They won't do it with anyone else. Right? And Krishna will only enjoy with pure devotees. People who are purified by devotional service. Otherwise, he will not engage in these pastimes with anyone else. You have to be free from lust. When you're free from lust, then you can enjoy these pastimes with Krishna. So you have to be qualified, and then Krishna will reciprocate. But we should not imitate these things. You can't pretend you are Krishna. You try to pretend you are Krishna, then you're
gone.
Yeah, then you will suffer. Because the Bhagavad Gita says it is pleasure in the mode of passion. Pleasure in the mode of passion means? In the beginning it is nice, but later on you will suffer.
Poison.
That's the nature of the material world.
Poison or game?
Yeah. Beginning is okay. No. Material world's like that beginning. That's why we get married. Because in the beginning you think, oh, she's so nice, he's so nice, let's get married. No. Does it stay like that? No. And then you realize what it's really about. And then... It's the nature of the material world. You can't be happy in the material world. It's like I was the other day. Where was I? There's one preaching program, and my wife is there. So I said to her, I said, give me a number, one, between 1 and 10. How would you rate our marriage? So what are you going to say?
5. 5.
What are you going to say? You know, you think, what are you going to say about your wife, about your husband, what are you going to say? It was interesting, we both gave each other the same note. God, I said, be honest, you know, don't give me like some artificial, like, you know, 10 or something like that. Don't do that. Say honest, you know, and we honestly gave each other. We said 8 out of 10. Say 8 out of 10, it's nice. I mean, you know, it's a nice relationship, but it's not perfect. You know, you don't feel satisfied. You're only satisfied with 10 plus. And the only way you can get 10 plus is with Krishna or with pure devotees. Otherwise, not possible.
Eight is good.
Yeah, we have days where it's about 3. Okay, that's true. Everyone has those days. You have that, you know, you have that dialogue in your head. Why did I marry this person? Was I mentally insane? I must be the craziest person in the world. Was I intoxicated when I did this? You know, we all think like that sometimes. That's just the nature of the material world. But what all of us need is 10 plus. Right? Krishna is 10 plus. 10 means perfect, and then more perfect, most perfect. Krishna is unlimited. Lord Krishna's flower garland would become smeared with kunkum from their breasts, and his abundant locks of hair would become disheveled as a result of his absorption in the game. As the Lord repeatedly sprayed his young consorts, and they sprayed him in turn, he enjoyed himself like the king of elephants, enjoying in the company of his bevy of she elephants. Afterward, Lord Krishna and his wives would give the ornaments and clothing they had worn during their water sports to the male and female performers who earned their livelihood from singing and from playing instrumental music. Interesting Vedic cultural point. Wow. What is to be noted from that verse? What do we learn? What did Krishna do?
Rewarded.
Who did they reward?
By making the whole lila even more eligible.
Yeah. The musicians. Right. So it's a Vedic cultural point. The Kshatriyas, the higher classes, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, the Shudras are maintained on charity. You never pay a Shudra. You never give them money. Because what do they do with money? Yeah, they go and waste it. Right? Gambling, right. Intoxication, illicit sex, and eating meat. Right? You go to Crown Casino. Right? Gambling, intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex. That's all it is. All the Shudras, you give them money, they just waste it on the most useless things. That's why you never give Shudras money. The Vedic system was, they gave them clothes, they gave them food, they gave them a place to live, like that, but you never give them money. And Shudras never have chariots, or these days you would say cars. You see what all the Shudras, they get cars and then they think they're kings and they drive around, they do all sorts of nonsense things. The chariots are only for the Kshatriyas, the Brahmanas, or the Vaishyas, and not for the law. So it's a Vedic cultural point. They give charity. They maintain by charity. In this way, Lord Krishna would sport with his queens, totally captivating their hearts with his gestures, talks, glances and smiles, and also with his jokes, playful exchanges and embraces. The queens would become stunned in ecstatic trance, their minds absorbed in Krishna alone. Then thinking of their lotus-eyed Lord, they would speak as if insane, "Please hear these words from me as I relate them." So text 15. This is called Mahishi Gita. There's a song of the queens. So you can think the queens are the gopis. This was explained. The acharyas explained this. The queens are the gopis. Or you can think of it differently. It's also, you can think they're expansions. There's different ways of thinking of it. But the point is that it's the most exalted devotees. I mean, not the most exalted, because it's not the original gopis, but it's the same prayers which you'll find in the other Gitas within the Bhagavatam, which were spoken by the gopis, where they're feeling separation from Krishna. So this is called Prema Vaichitya, which means, I already explained it earlier. What is Prema Vaichitya? They are with Krishna, but they're feeling they are separated. So this is called Unmada. The gopis, this is why this is the most exalted stage of consciousness. So those five chapters that we said, the five Gitas, and in Kurukshetra, and then here in the Mahishi Gita, this is where you'll find in the 10th canto, you'll find the most exalted levels of consciousness. Okay. The queen said, "Oh, Kurari bird, you are lamenting. Now it is night, and somewhere in this world The Supreme Lord is asleep in a hidden place. But you are wide awake, O friend, unable to fall asleep. Is it that, like us, you have had your heart pierced to the core by the lotus-eyed lords, munificent, playful, smiling glances? So Krishna is there, and what are they doing? They're talking to a bird. What do we call people who talk to birds? Unmada. Unmada means pagobaba. You know, you see someone talking to a bird, then what do you think?
Trying to train it to talk.
Yeah, either trying to train it to talk. You see someone speaking to a parrot, saying, what do the parrots say?
Cocky want a cracker.
Cocky want a cracker, cocky want... Yeah, okay, but if someone's just out there in the street talking to a magpie, right, then what will you think? I think this guy is Puggle. Right? So when Krishna's there, and the gopis are just there, and the gopis are talking to a bird, and what's Krishna thinking? Krishna thinks, look at their love. They have the most exalted love for me. So they're so mad at the moment. Even though I'm here, they're thinking I'm not there. This is the most exalted love of God. Do you like it? You like to read this, or shall we stop? And you want to keep going? Or do you want to fall asleep? You have to get a taste for these things. Janmashtami is coming. If you haven't got a taste, then you should pray on Janmashtami for Krishna to give you a taste. If you don't get a taste for this, you can't go back to Krishna. Unless you develop Vasudev Katha Ruchi, you can't go back to Krishna. So you have to get a taste for hearing this. Otherwise you'll think, oh, it's just boring to something. And no.
There is a story that, Krishna was there. She started crying, and then he was a why are you crying? And then she said, only Radharani knows. And then Maharaji came, and he also said something that you
are crying. from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Brihad Bhagavatamrita is that's considered the seminal book. It was written by Sanatan Goswami. It was the first book written out of all of the six Goswamis.
Yeah.
And from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, everything, all the other books by all the other Goswamis are based upon Brihad Bhagavatamrita.
Mm-hmm.
And Brihad Bhagavatamrita is a summary of Srimad Bhagavatam. So everyone should study Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's extremely important. Poor Chakravaki. Even after closing your eyes, you continue to cry pitifully through the night for your unseen mate. Or is it that, like us, you have become the servant of Achyutya and hanker to wear in your braided hair the garland? He is blessed with the touch of his feet. Dear ocean, you are always roaring, not sleeping at night. Are you suffering insomnia? Or is it that, as with us, Mukunda has taken your insignias and you are hopeless of retrieving them? My dear moon, having contracted a severe case of tuberculosis, you have become so emaciated that you fail to dispel the darkness with your rays. Or is it that you appear dumbstruck because, like us, you cannot remember the encouraging promises Mukunda once made to you? O Malayan breeze, what have we done to displease you so that you stir up lust in our hearts, which have already been shattered by Govinda's sidelong glances? O revered cloud, you are indeed very dear to the chief of the Yadavas, who bears the mark of Srivatsa. Like us, you are bound to him by love and are meditating upon him. Your heart is distraught with many with great eagerness, as our hearts are. And as you remember him again and again, You shed a torrent of tears. Association with Krishna brings such misery. These were the same prayers the gopis offered to Krishna early in the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, in the different Gitas, Brahma Gita, Gopi Gita, Venu Gita, like different. So they are saying to associate with Krishna simply brings misery and unhappiness. So when you go back to the spiritual world, you will be miserable and unhappy. That is the goal of Krishna consciousness. Hands up if you want to be miserable and unhappy. Very good, yes. For Krishna it is good. In other words, you will feel so that they have so much love for Krishna. Krishna is just there. Krishna is right there with them. They have so much love for him, they're feeling intense separation from him. They're feeling the deepest unhappiness. But there is nothing to be unhappy about because Krishna is there. But even when he is there, they're feeling the deepest unhappiness. Right? That is why Lord Chaitanya came. To experience that mood of separation the gopis felt for Krishna. That is the deepest ecstasy. Because then they wake up from that and then they realize Krishna is there. But if they did not feel that separation, they could not enjoy his association. The point is you have to feel something. If you don't feel anything, then how can you progress in Krishna consciousness? That's why we have to come to classes like this. So we learn to love Krishna. Sometimes we have to overcome obstacles to come to these classes. But you have to come. What can we do? So many obstacles are there in the material world. Throw your phone in the bin and just come to the class. Don't answer the phone calls. Just like there was one king. The king was very, very powerful. But he was attached to hearing the Bhagavatam. That was all he wanted to do. So he just would sit and listen to the Bhagavatam. And then one of the treasurers, someone in the government came, and they came to him, and they whispered while he's listening to Bhagavatam. They said, the treasury is burning. It's on fire where you keep all the gold and everything. It's on fire. And he said, okay, quickly go, tell them do this, and this, go to that, like that. Okay, go. Right? And he just sat there and kept listening to Bhagavatam. Right? He wasn't going to get up and... Yeah, we get the call and then we walk out. And your house is on fire. What will you do? You'll go home. I would go home too. But this king, he just said, no, I said, take it.
That was King Janak.
Who?
Janak.
Was it Janak, was it?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. So we should be attached to hearing Bhagavatam. Don't let anything stop you from coming to hear Bhagavatam. Sometimes the students over the years, they told me, I said, oh, I haven't seen you, why are you not coming? Oh, this happened. No, you don't stop. You don't stop. Maya will always bring problems. That's Maya's job. You have to go. Oh, sweet throated cuckoo. In a voice that could revive the dead, you are vibrating the same sounds we once heard from our beloved, the most pleasing of speakers. Please tell me what I can do today to please you. O magnanimous mountain, you neither move nor speak. You must be pondering some matter of great importance, or do you, like us, desire to hold on your breasts, the feet of Vasudeva's darling son. O rivers, wives of the ocean, your pools have now dried up. Alas, you have shriveled to nothing, and your wealth of lotuses has vanished. Are you then like us, who are withering away because of not receiving the affectionate glance of our dear husband, the Lord of Madhu, who has cheated our hearts. Welcome, swan. Please sit here and drink some milk. Give us some new news of the descendant of Sura, dear one. We know you are his messenger. Is that invisible Lord doing well? And does that unreliable friend of ours still remember the words he spoke to us long ago? Why should we go and worship him? O servant of a petty master, go tell him who fulfills our desires to come here without the goddess of fortune. Is she the only woman exclusively devoted to him? Shukadeva Goswami said, that is the end of the Mahishi Gita. Shukadeva Goswami said, by thus speaking and acting with such ecstatic love for Lord Krishna, the master of all masters of mystic yoga, his loving wives attain the ultimate goal of life. These are Nitya Siddha devotees. Sometimes Sadhana Siddha devotees merge in with Nitya Siddha devotees. So when it says that they will attain the ultimate goal of life, it means the Sadhana Siddha portion. The Nitya Siddha is already liberated. The Lord, whom countless songs glorify in countless ways, forcibly attracts the minds of all women who simply just hear about him. What to speak then of those women who see him directly? Yeah, I read 25. That was 26. Yeah. So what is Krishna's name? Krishna. Krishna's name is? Krishna. But what does Krishna mean? Why all attractive? Because Krishna, the word, if you break it down, it means one who forcibly takes. Forcibly takes. Like, attract you means just takes you, steals you, overwhelms you. You are completely helpless when he is there. He's so beautiful. If we saw him, we would faint, actually. He's so beautiful, so attractive. Everything about him that he just... All attractive means he takes you, he steals you. You cannot resist Krishna. No one can resist Krishna. That's why it says here that just by seeing him... Right, that's why when we go and see the deities, we should see the deities. Sometimes we go, we don't even see them. You go there, you offer your obeisances, you just go like this, and you walk. You don't see them. When you meditate on Radha Balabha, you have to meditate on them for a long time. Go and have long darshan. Then, you know, Jamashtami is coming. Spend time with the deities on Jamashtami. Don't just run around, just cooking, doing everything. Go and spend time with them. You know, I know during the day is a lot of service, but make sure, like, you know, I have my service during the day, but in between, I always come and I make sure I spend time with the deities. And just sit with Radha Balabha. Kirtan goes all day. Just sit there. Right? Spend some time with them. Become attracted to them and to the holy name. Right? Doesn't matter what service you're doing on Jamashtami, you have to chant constantly. Then you will realize Krishna.
You know, Bhaktivinoda Acharya has written about this, that Gopi Madhura, Leela Madhura, Yukta Madhuram, Mukta Madhuram, Drashta Madhuram, Sista Madhuram. Madhuradipade, Akima Madhuram. So it means Gopi is madhur, Leela is madhur, Yukta means meeting is madhur, and Mukta means separation is madhur, Drashta means glance is madhur, and his sister-char is madhur.
On Jamashtami, you can chant Madhurashtika.
Okay.
Yeah, it's important to chant these prayers.
Yeah. So.
And how could one possibly describe the great austerities that had been performed by the women who perfectly served him, the spiritual master of the universe, in pure ecstatic love? Thinking of him as their husband, they rendered such intimate services as massaging his feet. The queens did not have to perform any austerities because Krishna is already their husband. They're his eternal associates. But if we want to become eternal associates of Krishna, we have to do a lot of austerity. What does austerity mean? Austerity means giving up things you don't want to give up for something else. So if you want to get to Krishna, hands up if you want to get to Krishna, then you have to give up things you don't want to give up. Krishna will test you. Things you don't want to give up, he will make you give up. That is the test. So Janmashtami is coming. So at least on one day, just give everything up. Right? All the other days. Right? Give up your iPhone just for a day. Huh? Yeah, you tell him. You tell him. Just one day. Janmashtami, don't touch it. Huh? I want to see it, Janmashtami. I don't want to see that phone. One day of the year. Oh, Krishna. Oh, Krishna. Thus observing. Huh? On 27 or 28? 28. Thus observing the principles of duty enunciated in the Vedas, Lord Krishna, the goal of the saintly devotees, repeatedly demonstrated how one can achieve at home the objectives of religiosity, economic development, and regulated sense gratification. While fulfilling the highest standards of religious household life, Lord Krishna maintained more than 16,100 wives. So Krishna taught us how to live perfectly in this world.
Is it 16,100 or 108?
You come tomorrow night and we'll talk about the other eight.
Okay.
16,100 wives. Right? Krishna taught us dharma, artha, karma. While you're in this world, you have to do it. You don't have to do it. You can become a sannyasi, but none of us can become a sannyasi. So dharma, artha, karma, you have to do it. Krishna teaches you how to do it. No. And then you give it all up. No. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan Ki. Okay. Tomorrow night, we will finish Canto 10. Please come. Next Monday, we'll begin Canto 11. Please come. Next Tuesday, we'll do overview of the final section. The following Tuesday, we have the exam and all of your oral presentations. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan Ki. Please come again. Please keep up with your fees. Nice to see you all. Hare Krishna.